Good morning. It's always an honor to be able to stand up here and present a lesson to the congregation. As the one that prepares, at times it doesn't always seem like an honor, but it truly is. There's a story that's made the rounds for years that my father, I don't know if it's while he was an elder or after, but they had asked him to get up and make a talk. And Harold, I think, was behind that. And my father got up here and he looked, and Harold had come into the back. He's supposed to be on vacation. He'd come in the back and sit down. And Daddy saw him back there, and Daddy goes. And I think he stood there and did that until Harold came up there. So, Zach. No, this morning, I want to talk about something that's dear to my heart. James Jefferson Mac Jenkins, and I'm starting this with this because credit is where credit is due. James Jefferson Mac Jenkins, which the grandchildren called him Mac. A lot of us called him Uncle Jim Mac Jenkins. He was my grandfather's brother, and he was the grandfather of more people in this this congregation than any other person. His children that we would know well here were Claiborne, Sam, James, LaRon, Janie Fern, and Sevilla. And one thing that I always heard about Uncle Jim was how much he loved to read his Bible. As a matter of fact, that was mentioned to me this morning by someone. But anyway, without getting into tears here, the purpose for this is that to tell you that a few years ago, Sevilla walked up to me and she handed me a little piece of paper out of one of these little notebooks that are about that tall and about that wide, you know. She handed me a piece of paper, and on it, it had the date of 5/24/2000. I actually thought it was further back than that until I looked at it over the last few days. But anyway, Sevilla handed me that, and that was a talk that might have been a class, a Wednesday night class. It was on Wednesday night, but sometimes I get to talk and there's not much chance for anyone else to answer. So I had made this talk on being spiritually minded, and Sevilla had wrote down the verses that I mentioned, and the piece of paper that she gave me contained them. Well, sometime after that, I went back and tried to make a talk out of it, and I didn't do as well as I thought I should. I couldn't remember everything. Still don't remember everything in it, but I've had in my mind lately that when I made a talk, I was gonna come up with a talk as close as I could to what I did. But so anyway, my talk will be on spiritually minded, which you know, it says what it means. It's to have a base in your mind of spiritual things, and everything else to build on that. Our lives here on earth should build on that, and it's the way that we should remain. I promise you that anyone that enters heaven will be a spiritual-minded person. But as I chose these verses, and I can remember this from 2000. I can't remember anything in 2000, really, but this all kind of brought it to memory, that along with these verses that I chose on being spiritual-minded, there also were a couple of other threads in there with it, one of which was helping to take care of anxiety, not to be anxious about things. And I'm not saying these verses are the cure to anxiety, but I'm saying they're the beginning of a cure. If you want to get rid of anxiety, anxieties in your world, this is a great place to start. Also, along with that, Jim mentioned something about prayer this morning, and Zach. You'll find that in several of these, it's talking about prayer at times. So with that said, most of what I'm going to do is be reading verses from the New Testament. I will make a few comments, but for the most part, these are my favorite verses, and they actually explain themselves as you read them to a large degree. And I would like to start with Philippians, the 4th chapter, starting with verse 5. And before I start, let me say that without trying to embarrass him, following Jim Fincher after he's made a talk is a tough job to do. He's one of my favorites, and he really speaks to the heart, I think. Speaks as anyone would understand. Okay, back to Philippians 4, starting with verse 5. And all of these I'm reading from English Standard Version, because that seems to be the version that a lot of people here are using now. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and see in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. The reasonableness there, let your reasonableness be known to everyone, is I think it's talking about your patience, your mildness, your gentleness, to show that your spirituality is coming out of just another human being, just like anyone else. The one part that I really like about that, the Lord is at hand. I'm afraid at times we lose sight of the fact that the Lord is with us. The Lord's with us in what we do. He is at hand, means near or close to. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I looked this up in Strong's Dictionary, and I really like this definition of it. The peace of God is the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. I can't think of a better way to say that. Okay, and the last is a statement that I wish I could stand up here and say. And hopefully, maybe I got enough years that someday I can kind of think it. But that is that Paul says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in him, practice these things. It takes quite a man to be able to say that. Quite a servant of God. Okay, next, I originally had made a Reader's Digest version of this, but I decided this is one of the more beautiful scriptures in the Bible, so I'm going to read the whole thing. Matthew 6, starting with verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, ye of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. A spiritually minded person will seek first the kingdom of God. And if you seek that, the Lord will take care of you. And something that's been on my mind a long time that I thought, you know, look at this materially. I've never known of a Christian that has had to go with no clothes or has starved to death. For one thing, any person in this audience that gets in the condition that they need clothes, need food, the other brethren are going to take care of it. And some may not agree with me, but if that were not the case, I truly believe God's going to take care of that person. Okay. In Matthew 7, starting with verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. If you then, who are evil, I've skipped down to verse 11. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, extending this. Okay, first of all, we all have or have had an earthly father. Hopefully your father gave good gifts to you. Hopefully you had a good father. But we know that if we seek him, we have a spiritual father, not for the time that we have him here on earth, but for eternity. That is really, that sounds great to me. I'll say it that way. Well, what if we don't know how to ask? I had someone that I worked with tell me, you know, I don't know if I really know how to ask God. You know, when I go to prayer, I don't have confidence in asking him the right thing. That same person has told me that, sometimes at night, they'd be praying, they'd go to sleep while they were praying, and they were afraid of what God thought of them. So I told the person, I said, okay, let me ask you this. If you went to sleep while you were doing something, what had you rather be doing than praying to God? And secondly, as far as knowing how to ask, if you're following along, turn to Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. So when you feel like you need to pray, pray, and pray with confidence. Now, you know, what I've said so far is, in my mind, is for those that are seeking to be spiritually minded. Along the way, as you become more that way, you need to keep your eyes on the goal. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Reading through several verses, actually. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the scheme of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, in order to remain spiritually minded, remain that way over time, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Skip down to verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Once again, prayer and supplication was mentioned. Turn to Hebrews 4. Verse 14, we covered this not too long back in Zach's class. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of God, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're not saved by our sinlessness, because we all have sinned. And by that sin, we fall short of what the Lord has requested of us. However, He has furnished a way out. We are saved by the sinlessness of Jesus, our Savior. Now, we know there are things that we have to do, that we need to do, and that are required of us, but it is not our sinlessness that gets us, to heaven. It is that we take Christ within us, and that is our goal. Okay. When we get old, I'm old. I've been making talks, and I still get anxious for every one of them. I've been making talks here for nearly 50 years off and on. That's hard to believe, but there are some here that know it for a fact. But anyway, there's no retirement from being a Christian. There's no retirement from doing God's will. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, Paul says, or writes to Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. I think that's a statement there that hit me a little different this time. We should love the appearing of the Lord when He comes. And I think that's a good judge of how we may stand before the Lord. That is my lesson. At this time, if you still want to follow along, turn to Acts, the 4th chapter, verse 11. Let it be known. Okay, excuse me. This is Peter and John as they appeared before the Sanhedrin. They had been put in prison. They came out the next day in front, if I remember right, and they were to meet with the Sanhedrin. And when they were asked about their preaching, so forth, they said, Peter said, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, this Jesus is a stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And this is what I want to emphasize. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. If there's anyone here who feels that they're ready to become a member of Christ's church, who feels that they need the prayer of the church, whatever, the elders are ready, things are prepared, Jesus is the answer. He's our hope. He is the good news, the gospel. Why do you wait? Today is the day of salvation. Let us stand. Please come forward as we sing.